Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, sitting in for Tom Crawford on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to be welcomed, to welcome our first guest of the day and a longtime friend, Jason Hillman, known to a lot of people in these parts for his broadcasting, but general counsel for the Cavaliers Operating Company in Cleveland, Ohio. Just another humdrum week in Cleveland. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Jack, how you doing?
How are the people in Cleveland this morning?
You know, I think that the sting is definitely still here. You know, right off the bat, I want to make clear it's I don't think it's about him leaving.
Right.
You know, that's something that he earned.
Right.
That's a decision that he had the ability to make.
Right.
It's the process, candidly. You know, the way this was carried out, that's the part that I think hurts. The sort of lack of any apparent appreciation. I mean, you heard some cursory references to it in the interview.
Right.
And
insincere, I thought.
That's kind of how it came off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people are bothered by. You know, I can tell you, as an employee of the club, I'd be hard-pressed to challenge or not respect a decision where someone says, you know what, I've given 7 years of my life and I want to go to another spot, play with a couple of buddies, and that spot happens to be South Beach.
Right. I think we can all agree on that, even though it would have been nice. I was rooting for him to stay with the Cavaliers. I like to see that, and I'm certainly rooting for Cleveland to win a championship in my lifetime.
That makes two of us.
But when you think about what has happened over the past few days, Jason, are you shocked? Are you surprised? Or knowing LeBron, did you kind of think the diva thing might be happening?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I don't know him that well. And in my capacity, I'm not that involved with the player contract. So I can't tell you I know him enough to you know, say I'm surprised one way or another. I can tell you that you know, being around professional sports and now truly in it on this side, nothing surprises me.
Right.
But I, you know, candidly, up until about 8:59, I was still of the impression that this was sort of all being drawn out to a conclusion that led to him staying. And so, I guess in that sense, I was rolling my eyes a little bit. But again, it's really just the process and how it happened. And you know, I have to tell you, it's not unlike any other business. If someone was going to leave, I think you man up and you call your boss and you let them know that you're heading elsewhere. And that really didn't happen here.
Right.
And with all that Dan Gilbert has provided since he's taken over, and to be fair, LeBron's given a lot back to us too. So it wasn't a one-way street.
Apparently what he didn't give you was an active cell phone number because it was very difficult to reach him during the offseason.
Yeah, and I don't know how much the dialogue existed or didn't exist. I know that at the end of the day, you would have hoped there was a conversation 5 minutes before Jim Gray found out about it.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, what was the most disappointing part.
Dave, you had a comment on this earlier.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Did you speak to the other teams that also kind of got stuffed by him? Was there frustration from the other teams of how unprofessional he was with the whole situation?
You know, it's funny you ask that question, Dave, because that was really, candidly, from my perspective, the part that bothered me the most about the process is that with all that's going on here in Cleveland, I almost felt like the other night we were no different than the Clippers. You know, we were no different than the Chicago Bulls. We were
probably
no
hurt
than
more
the
than the Clippers because they're used to it.
Right, but we were. It was almost as if the dialogue was
right.
No different.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I can appreciate people in New York or L.A. or anywhere else being upset, thinking they had a chance, and wanting to weigh in on the you know, their dissatisfaction with the process as well. I don't know what's on par with what we're going through right now in Cleveland, but. You know, I don't say that from a woe is me perspective either. We, as Chris Grant, our general manager, said the other day, when our basketball guys found out at 9:01, we flicked the switch and are moving forward. And I don't say that to be Pollyanna-ish at all. It's what you've got to do. We all went to work yesterday morning. and we'll keep at it. And I'm confident we're going to put a winner on the floor.
When we talk about being upset, I guess we have to get back to Dan Gilbert. Jason, you said yesterday that you know the organization's going to pull together here. Were you surprised that Dan released the statement he did, the open letter, or did you know this was coming? That's just the kind of passionate guy he is.
I didn't know it was coming because, you know, in my capacity, I'd probably got a million text messages and emails asking me if I vetted it before it went out.
If he had said to you, hey, Jason, take a look at this. What do you think of this? What would you have told him?
You know what, Jack, I can't answer that from a hypothetical perspective because I'll tell you straight out, he wouldn't have. That's Dan, and it's his personality, yeah. And it's him closing ranks with 3 million people in Northeast Ohio to say what 3 million other people were saying,
yeah.
And thinking. And, you know, I'll leave it to anyone else to decide whether it was the right thing, the wrong thing, or indifferent. And I certainly know there's opinions on both sides, but what I do know is that he has galvanized in 28 seconds, which it was how long it took me to read that letter. He has galvanized this fan base.
How has the fan base reacted to it? Have they kind of rolled their eyes like, "Oh God," or are they kind of pumped up by it?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's the pumped up factor. It's, you know, there's, you know, I don't want to say it's unanimous. I mean, you pick up the paper today and the Plain Dealer and see somebody that says they questioned it. But for the most part, 99.99% of the folks say, I'm glad that's my owner. I'm glad he's fighting for us. And that just shows he wants to win.
Yeah.
And I'm that much more convicted. And in a weird way, I read one comment that said, this was the most authentic thing that's happened in the last 6 weeks. And that was the part of it that jumped out at me, and I think that's vintage Dan and why we love working for him.
We saw the statement from Mark Cuban. It's kind of ironic because
right.
Mark Cuban almost tampering, trying to get LeBron James early in the process, but he's supporting Dan Gilbert. Would you guess that for NBA free agents, they would look at this and say, whoa, I don't know if that's the place that I want to go?
I don't think so. I'll echo what our new coach Byron Scott said the other day, and that is that's players seeing what Dan's commitment is to winning, and it's supported by a $25 million practice facility that we built 3 years ago.
Sure.
It's supported by a decision to change the seats in the arena from the old blue, from when the team had the ice cream blue and orange uniforms when the
right.
building was built,
right.
to what they are now. And it's, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with winning, and it doesn't have anything to do with a return on investment, but it's a decision to you know, do the right thing and have the seats be the same color as your uniform. That's Dan, and that's what our organization's all about. And I think at the end of the day, that's what players see rather than, you know, some rhetoric one way or another in a heated moment.
Jason Hillman, General Counsel, Cavaliers Operating Company in Cleveland. And a lot of people remember Jason from broadcasting days here in the state of Michigan. Jason, I know as a Michigan State alum, you had to be a little conflicted a couple weeks ago with Tom Izzo considering going to Cleveland. And it was pointed out to me that, you know what, maybe what goes around comes around, and what is really different between Miami going hard after a player who was truly a free agent as opposed to Dan Gilbert trying to lure a coach who was under contract?
Well, that's a great question, Jack. And I read that somebody tried to point that out in that distinction yesterday. And I guess my answer would be this. There was nobody associated with the process at Michigan State that wasn't in regular communication
right.
with Tom Izzo, right? It was all a
except
very open element, and you're going to find no bigger supporter of Michigan State than Dan Gilbert. And at the end of the day, Tom Izzo made the decision he made. The Spartan in me is happy he did. We're thrilled that we have Byron Scott. And it was just, again, the process was one that I think you respect. The process here, I just disagree with, and I'm not happy with how it was handled, and I think it was a slap in the face to 3 million people in Northeast Ohio. So, you know, which is my adopted hometown now. So I'm going to step up for it and try and protect it, and do whatever we can to try and make sure we put a winner on the floor. But I think that's where the process and the distinction would be between what happened in East Lansing.
Jason, as a broadcaster turned attorney, are you disappointed in the way ESPN handled this whole thing and bought into the decision? Some people thought it should have been called the narcissism, but the whole dictating how it was going to be, where it was going to be, I guess this was all Jim Gray's idea, which surfaced sometime during the playoffs. But to me, it was just seamy. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, and I remarked that to a friend of mine. This is before the decision was announced, and it certainly is a problem that I have, and you know the ever blurring line between content and entertainment.
Right.
Although I think we've got to be a little bit honest. That line's been blurred, crossed, and obliterated long ago.
Yeah.
So I certainly defer, Jack, to your thoughts in that regard, you know, being a veteran in this industry as well, and so I don't know that this is any new phenomenon. What I was intrigued by is all day watching the network, the talking heads that were on the network all day were unfettered. I mean, they had the ability to criticize and knock the decision to do it that way, and I didn't, you know, that was encouraging in that regard, that there didn't seem to be any internal network censorship of that element, unless there was something that I missed. But so I thought that was okay. But no, I don't like that process. I don't like the continuation of blurring that line or crossing it or obliterating it, whatever I just said. It's just I think it's a problem, and it's something that we got to take a look at.
In your opinion, do you think this was just kind of a one-time flash in the pan thing, or do you think this is the pattern we're going to be going in with free agency now, with the type of attention that players are getting?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, it's copycat league, right? And that's the way we live right now. And I think even Norby Williamson at ESPN was quoted saying that he would do this again, you know, with a couple tweaks here and there.
You're ready for the Carmelo show.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we're probably seeing a trend. And like any other trend, well, it'll be popular for a little while before the next one comes along. But, you know, this was a tough one to take as far as the result and the process, and again, we're just we're focused on turning the page and putting a winner on the floor here.
Two more questions, Jason. Among Dan Gilbert's business interests, of course, we all know about Quicken Loans, but also Fathead, and he has announced that the price on the LeBron James Fatheads, and maybe there's some symbolism with that term, but going down from $99 to $17.41 because that was a year of birth for Benedict Arnold. Does that money then from the LeBron James Fatheads go to a specific place that might be symbolic? Is it going to go to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Cleveland?
That's a good question. I don't know what the plans are on the Fathead side. I saw that with interest the other day. But I imagine that will stay the for-profit initiative that it is, but you never know. That's a good idea. Maybe we should direct some of that to the Boys and Girls Club. I will say, you want to talk about one of the most disappointing things I heard the other day was one of the ESPN anchors defending the notion that Dan didn't get a phone call ahead of time by saying that would have diluted the impact of an announcement that was designed to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as strongly as I'm going to come out swinging today, that's a joke. And that was a part that I really had a hard time getting my arms wrapped around.
Jason, was there any thought with a player who has been labeled a quitter, and Dan said that happened in two NBA playoffs, not just one, and a traitor, was there any thought that, you know what, do we really want to go through all this for this guy, or was he just so important to the city and so good that it wouldn't have mattered if he was Osama bin Laden, you had to sign him?
I'll leave that for the basketball guys, but I'll say this. I don't think it's it's necessary or right to go back and start nitpicking the last 7 years. I mean, he was a tremendous asset to our franchise, tremendous asset to our community.
But Dan's pointed out five games where he thought he didn't give maximum effort.
Yeah, and I'm going to leave that for Dan.
Okay.
And our basketball guys, and let that sort of speak for itself. But we were all making a run at trying to keep him. And I go back to what I said before, which is that this is about the process to me, not about necessarily the end result. And doing it a respectful way and a proper way, and that just didn't happen.
Last comment or question, Jason. It's been that since 1964, and we know how many heartbreaks the city of Cleveland has had. When
right.
Dan Gilbert says, in all caps, "I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former king wins one, you can take it to the bank." What does that guarantee mean? Does that mean that season ticket holders are going to get something back if that doesn't happen? What does that personal guarantee mean?
I think it means you're going to see every effort from Dan Gilbert, and the man's not going to sleep until we do what's necessary to win a championship. And candidly, that's how he's been operating since he's taken the team over anyway.
Right.
So I don't know that you're going to see a marked difference in that regard, because the guy literally has been driven since day one to win a championship. And the neat thing about Dan, being a Midwest guy and a Detroit guy,
right,
he gets this whole sort of Midwest work ethic, blue collar thing that all of us, the three of us, have grown up with and
sure,
lived.
Sure.
Because of that, he really embraces the Cleveland sports fan, and I think the Cleveland sports fan has embraced him right back. We're going to go get one. There's no question in my mind we're going to go get one, and I look forward to bringing the trophy and the ring up to East Lansing to show everybody. I miss it up there. I want to come back for football.
We'll get you up here for some football games, and I don't know how much individual media Dan Gilbert's going to want to do, but he has a standing invitation any day, any time, on this show, being a Michigan State alum and someone I think that I think a lot of people would share his passion about what has happened this week. So.
That's good to hear, and I think you're right. I know he lives and eats and breathes Michigan State, lives and eats and breathes the Cavaliers, and as do I, both of those. And so I'm glad I'm glad Tom Izzo's where he is. Let's say that because I'm looking forward to his continuation with this basketball program and. Would have liked being a co-worker with him, but we're thrilled with Byron Scott, and I'm thrilled that Michigan State remains in good hands.
Jason Hillman, former Michigan broadcaster, MSU alum, and general counsel for the Cavaliers operating company. Jason, we'll see you soon. We'll see you up here for some football games.
Jack and Dave, great talking to you guys, and be well. Go Green. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll be right back with more. Open line, 393-3700, 393-3700. Also, don't forget, you can follow along. You can listen live on the streaming, or you can catch the podcasted segments later this afternoon at 1320WILS.com. We'll be right back.